You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
In 1941, Warner Brothers were planning a musical picture about a group of itinerant jazz musicians, with a lot of non-musical actors propped up by the Jimmy Lunceford Band. And while this was going on, over at Columbia Pictures, they were trying to figure out a South American setting in which Fred Astaire could woo and win Rita Hayworth. The composers invited to perform these two chores were two of the greatest in America, and so were the two lyricists. The composers were Harold Arlen and Jerome Kern. Both the lyricists were Johnny Mercer. At Warner Brothers, the jazz musicians' film needed a title song, and posterity agrees that what Arlen and Mercer came up with was one of the best popular songs ever written, original in form and quite startling in its use of words to suggest sounds.
A lot of songs, Harold would play for me and I'd write a dummy lyric because I don't read music. And we didn't have tapes in those days. We could have had tapes, but what they had was those metal records and things, you know. If I got stuck at home, I'd call him up and say, would you play me that front strain again? And that would refresh my memory. But I might not come back for a week or two. And when I came back, I'd have all the lyrics finished and play them for him. On Blues in the Night, he played me the front strain, and I think I wrote it sitting right there in the room with him. And I said, it's not long enough. Can you write me another strain? The middle part, I need some more music. And he wrote that beautiful long middle part. Third strain is written that afternoon. And Harold worked with me on the lyric. He's the one who found my mom and told me way down near the end. He said, let's start the song with that. I said, all right, if you like it that much.
My mama done told me when I was in pigtails. My mama done told me a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye. But when the sweet talking's done, a man is a two-faced, a worrisome thing who'll leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, hear the train a-calling. Mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blow across the trestle. Ooh-wee. My mama done told me, a hooey to hooey, oh clickety clacks and echoing back the blues in a night. The trees to cry and the moon will hide its light when you get the blues in the night. Take my word, the song. He knows things are wrong and he's right. Oh, 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 oh. From Natchez to
We finished the song, and Harold wanted to call it My Mama Done Told Me, and I wanted to call it Blues in the Night. So he said, how are we going to solve this? I said, what about asking Berlin? So he was a friend of Harold's and mine. Occasionally, when we get to see the great man, he was hardly ever available. But he came by the house one afternoon, and we played him the song, and he loved it. And I said, what we want to know is what to call it. So he said, Blues in the Night. I said, see, that's what we called it.
The evening breeze will start the trees to cry, and the moon will hide its light. When you get
in the Night was a foregone conclusion to win the 1941 Oscar. But the adjudicating committee really did make it an Oscar that year by honouring Oscar Hammerstein's maudlin lyric for The Last Time I Saw Paris instead. Even Hammerstein thought the verdict was unjust. One of Mercer's later partners, Robert Emmett Dolan, said that when the result was announced, Hammerstein said to him, "Tell Johnny he was robbed." And so he was. But he was too busy with the challenge of working with Jerome Kern to worry too much about it. In 1941, Kern was the undisputed master of the American tune, the academic counterpart to the intuitive genius of Irving Berlin. Kern was a forbidding man, a Tartar, an egoist, a real creative tough guy who was always trying to acquire more knowledge about everything. He was a connoisseur, an intellectual, the very opposite of the old idea of the songwriter as a chewer of stale cigar butts.
Kern couldn't stand mediocrity. Kern was a superior person, a quick mind, and he knew everything about the theater. Besides the tunes, he knew about the costumes, he knew about the book, he knew about the actors' salaries, he knew what the box office was doing, he knew what the weather was like. He was quite a bright fella, and he had lots of hobbies, too, like he liked to bet the races, he collected first editions, silver, paintings. And I think it filled his time. He was a man who had a lot going for him, and it was like Edison. It just weren't enough hours in the day for him. So when he would get through writing, he occupied himself in these other things.
Kern could also sum up a situation in a few very witty words. For instance, his comment on the lady singer who was having trouble with her diction. She's in danger of rolling off the stage on her R's. And when asked for advice from a young writer who was being told by everybody that his work was too difficult, Kern said, "Go on being uncommercial, young man. There's a lot of money in it." When Kern joined forces with Mercer, he was over 60. Mercer was barely into his 30s. Yet the two of them got along famously.
We just hit it off right away. I was in such awe of him, I think he must have sensed that. He was very kind to me, very nice to me, treated me more like a son than a collaborator. And when I had a great lyric, he said, he called, Eva, come down here. And he kissed me on the cheek. He said, I want you to hear this lyric. Well, of course, I was thrilled that he liked it that much, you know. I'm old-fashioned, that one was.
I am not such a clever one about the latest facts. I admit I was never one adored by local lads. Not that I ever try to be a saint. I'm the type that they classify as quaint. I'm old-fashioned. I love the moonlight. I love the old-fashioned things. The sound of rain upon a window pane. The starry song that April sings. This year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighing sighs holding hands. These my heart understands. I'm old fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how I want to be, as long as you agree to stay old fashioned with me.
He just liked the way I wrote. I think it made him feel young, that I was young, that I knew about jazz. But he was tough about tunes. He give you a lead sheet, that was it. He didn't change around any notes or anything. He just wrote it the way he gave it. But he was a great writer.
I'm old-fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how I want to be, as long with me. Oh, won't you stay old-fashioned with me? Oh, please just stay old-fashioned with me.
The Carl Mercer picture starring Astaire and Haworth was called You Were Never Lovelier. An apt comment for the songs. Apart from I'm Old Fashioned, there was another memorable song in there, the first one in the picture where the heroine's sister is getting married. Mercer plucked a phrase out of the wedding ceremony and used it as the song's title. And the publishers, anxious to make sure the public got the point, put out the sheet music as follows. Dearly Beloved, song suitable for weddings.
Dearly Beloved, I see somewhere in heaven you are fashioned for me. Angel eyes knew you, angel voices led me to you. Nothing could save me, fate gave me a sign. I know that I'll be yours come shower or shine. So I say merely, dearly beloved, be mine. Dearly beloved, how clearly I see somewhere. Angel eyes knew
In spite of the great success of the partnership, it was Harold Arlen with whom Mercer was to be closely associated for the next few years. But we have to remember that Mercer was so prolific that he could write with three or four composers at the same time. In 1941, for instance, he also resumed an old professional partnership with Hoagy Carmichael. Mercer once told me that when a melody gave him trouble, he just left it alone, till the time came when he would wake up one morning with all the problems solved. One day, Carmichael gave him a very difficult melody. Mercer ignored it for a year. At the end of that year, he suddenly knew what to write. He wrote it and then phoned Carmichael with the glad tidings. "I finished the song." "What song?" said Carmichael. "Now fancy writing this and then forgetting about it."
"Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journeying over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading a moon. Oh, sky. But my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me
of Skylark was a time of prolific success for Mercer. One of the elder statesmen of the songwriting business, Walter Donaldson, was another of his heroes. Donaldson was an Irish-American veteran of lots of vast hits with his old partner Gus Kahn. He was a legendary character, forever dashing off to the racecourse when he should have been at the piano. But nobody cared, because even at the racetrack, Donaldson could apparently write hits. When Johnny Mercer wrote with Walter Donaldson, the older man was almost at the end of his life. But Mercer's regular partner of the period, Harold Arlen, was in his prime. And almost before the dust had settled on Blues in the Night, the pair of them did it again. And again in unorthodox ways. Or according to Mercer, Arlen did it in unorthodox ways.
"He started 64 bars, 70 bars, 68 bars, 76 bars. And this is one of those songs that needed it. Because it started off with that insistent front strain. And it keeps on. And he just goes up a tone, but he's still doing the same thing until he gets to the middle. Then he goes, da-da-dee-da-da, you know. different thing altogether. It's like the sun coming up. As a matter of fact, I asked him for that, too. I said, that's not long enough. We got to have some more things in here. Now, the other thing that might have been accidental is I was a great fan of Porter's. Do, do that, who do that you do so well was a big thing. I love that song. And I think that the germ of Black Magic came from that. I think it came there from somewhere. The idea of that tune, basic idea for that melody. Because that old Black Magic has really got nothing to do with it. But that old Black Magic called Love, that's different. And that's what I think made the song different.
That old Black Magic has me in its spell. That old Black Magic that you weave so well. I see fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. Down and down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame. A flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. You are the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, baby, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving the spin that I'm in, under that old black magic called love. I've waited for the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, baby, down and down I go, all around I go, in a spin, crazy about the spin I'm in, under that old black magic called love. That old black magic called love. That old black magic called love.
That old black magic was one of the biggest songs of the entire decade, but nobody would be certain it was any bigger than what Arlen and Mercer now wrote for Fred Astaire. The film The Sky's the Limit was a departure for Fred, the first picture ever in which he did not have to deck himself out in white tie and tails. Fred played an Air Force pilot who, for a while, is the victim of unrequited love. The song that came out of it was to receive its definitive performance some years later.
It's quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my babe and one more for the road. I got the routine, put another nickel in the machine. Feeling so bad, can't you make the music easy and sad? I could tell you a lot, but you've gotta be true to your code. Just make it one for my baby and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I'd like to say. And when I'm gloomy, won't you listen to me till it's talked away? Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. And thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. But this torch that I found, it's gotta be drowned, or it soon might explode. So make it one for my baby and one more for the road. The long, it's so long, the long, very long.
The song remains today what it was then. The most outstanding example throughout the entire range of American popular music of a character sketch or even a short story in song. But wonderful as it is, it doesn't seem to have been wonderful enough to satisfy the perfectionist Mercer.
I was never happy with the original, and I always felt that the singers didn't like that line about the torch got to explode. It seemed like a strange metaphor to me, a funny picture. A torch, yes, but explode, never really liked it. And in the picture itself, don't let it be said that little unsteady, who he's really drunk when he sings it, you know. And the guy at the bar is drunk. Seemed to me a better line, that's all. I just always searching around to find the right line. Sometimes I find them, sometimes I don't.
Another example of that striving after perfection is connected with the same picture, The Sky's the Limit. There was another outstanding song in there, and the title comes from Mercer's affection for English literature. There was once an English 18th century writer of hymns and didactic verses called Isaac Watts, and he once wrote a poem whose first line ran, "How doth the little busy bee improve each shining hour."
This will be my shining hour, calm and happy and bright. In my dreams, your face will flower through the darkness of the night. Like the lights of home before me, or an angel watching o'er me. This will be my shining hour till I'm with you again.
That was a very eventful time in my life. I was working at Paramount, writing two or three pictures with Victor Schertzinger, with Harold Arlen. I had a radio program with Paul Weston and the Pied Pipers and various guest stars, five times a week, twice a day. So I was a busy little boy. I was then about 32 or 3 years old, and I had plenty of energy, but I was working all day and half the night, every day. And enjoying it, too. And I had a couple of young children, and we were very happy. Happy, glamorous, busy days.
Days spent talking to a record store owner called Glenn Wallocks in Beverly Hills. Wallocks had just a small shop selling specialist records. But the two men began discussing the pipe dream of making a few records of their own.
So I said, I was thinking about that. Why don't we make a few sides? He said, "Will you talk to the people at Paramount Pictures and see if we can sell them in the lobby by the candy machines?" I said, "Okay." So I went over and I just mentioned it to Buddy De Silva, who was an executive producer at Paramount. He wasn't president, but he was a big man over there. I said, do you think Paramount would be interested in going in the record business? And I told him my idea. He said, well, I don't think they'd be interested, but I'm interested. Why don't you have your friend come over and we'll have lunch? So I took Glenn over to Paramount. We had lunch, and Buddy decided that the three of us would go in the record business.
They began, modestly enough, with a few million sellers, and that was how Capitol Records was born. But it was really just a sideline for Mercer, who was still following his right and proper craft. One of the studios that was keen for Mercer's work was Paramount, for whom he had turned out Tangerine, I Remember You, and several other big sellers. Now they were to reunite him with Crosby in a picture called Here Come the Waves, a picture that was to produce one of the widest quoted lines Mercer ever wrote.
The truth of the matter is, when I was working with Benny Goodman back in 1939, I had a publicity guy who told me he had been to hear Father Divine preach a sermon someplace, probably up in Harlem, or one of those African churches. And that was the subject of his sermon, accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Well, it amused me so, and it sounds so southern and so funny, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And this was, what, 5 years later? Harold Arlen and I were riding home from the studio after a conference about getting a song for the Sailors. The Sailors wanted to put on a show on a big destroyer, and Sonny Tufts and Bing Crosby were going to sing a duet. And could we come up with something? And then Harold was singing me this little tune, which he had sung me before, but I didn't remember. And it went, you know, da-da-dee-bop, bop, do-do-dee-do-dee-do, dump-dump. Now, that's a strange thing about your subconscious, because here's a song, this title, lying dormant in my subconscious for 5 years, and the minute he sang that tune, it jumped into my mind as if it dialed a phone number, because it doesn't really fit. The accent is all different. You got to act, bam, sent, tune, await the pause, you know? So, I just think there's some sort of fate connected with it. I really don't know. That's the true story. By the time we got to his house, we had most of it done. And we worked on it a little bit more, wrote a verse, and took it back down to Paramount the next week, and it was in.
Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You've got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk up on the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between. dark. And they said we better act, said, accentuate the positive feeling beneath the negative latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
If accentuate the positive was one of the phrases that Mercer plucked out of the small talk of his time, so was his next hit, the song that won him his first overdue Oscar.
This is another title that I had had written down in a little book. I was riding on the Union Pacific at the time, and I looked out the window and I saw the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe on a freight car, and I thought, wow, that's a really glamorous, colorful, rhythmical phrase, those three words. And colorful in America because it was the first big railroad west of Chicago. And I just wrote it down in a little book. And when it came time to write a movie called The Harvey Girls, which was about the opening of the West and had a lot to do with that railroad, I suggested to Harry that we write that title up. And he had a tune which went well with it. And that's what happened.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figured that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Here she comes. Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey, Jim, you better get the rig. Ooh. Got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lips to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Mercer was in phenomenal form. Everything he touched seemed to turn to pure gold. In 1945, there was a murder thriller with an evocative musical background score. It became a sensational film, not because of the murders or the thrills, but because of the music. But there were no words. So they called in Mercer, who now had to write a lyric to match the elusive romance of the picture. Now, nobody can really say which is Mercer's most poetic lyric, but this one must be in the shortlist. And yet again, the definitive performance of a Mercer lyric turns out to be by Frank Sinatra.
Laura is the face in the misty light. Footsteps that you hear down the hall. The laugh that floats on a summer night that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on that train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem.
she gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.
Laura belongs to 1945, the year before Mercer took a daring professional step and returned to New York. He and Arlen dreamed of crowning their careers with an outstanding stage musical. In 1946, the chance seemed to be staring them in the face. At the time, it was a sort of success. But today, all we know is that it was the pretext for yet another of the great American love songs.
They wanted to do a colored show about a colored jockey. They were very popular in America before the turn of the century. A lot of the jockeys at the Kentucky Derby were colored. And I suppose that once it got profitable, they were eased out like they are out of so many professions. So they were going to give us Harold Nicholas, who was a great dancer, and Lena Horne was going to be the leading lady. But when we found out we weren't going to get Lena Horne, I really wanted to quit. I said, there's no reason why we should do it. You have to leave Hollywood, go to New York, stay away a year, leave your family, leave everything you're doing, your jobs, my record company, everything, to do this damn show. Well, it turned out to be a good score. We knew what we were doing, and we loved the music. And when we sang the songs for the cast, one of the highlights of my life, they all applauded. And when you get a bunch of colored people to applaud your music, you're doing something. Because they're not easy to please. Especially in their milieu, you know. At least I think it was pretty authentic.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine, high as a mountain, deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I guess when I met you, it was just one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm going to be true if you'll let me. You're going to love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, now won't it be fine?
Woman was one of Mercer's better shots at Broadway. There were to be others, but they were intermittent. He was now really a Hollywood writer. And in 1951, up came the second Oscar, shared this time with his old friend, Hoagy Carmichael.
Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening is an old joke that Hoagy wanted to write. It was his idea to write it. And he had the tune, so I didn't have too much work to do. I just had to fill in the lines and find some way to do it. It's a kind of an odd song. You know, everything Hoagy writes is a little odd. It's got his own slant. Well, we liked it. I like some of the other songs better. We wrote six or eight songs for a movie called The Mack Sennett Girl, which was shelved. And about two or three years later, somebody in the music department told Frank Capra If you're looking for a song, there's six or eight lying around there that Hoagy and Johnny wrote. Why don't you take a look at it? He looked through it and he picked that one song out. And he put in a picture with Bing and Jane Wyman, and we rewrote the words a little bit, and it won an Oscar.
Sue wants a barbecue. Sam wants to boil a ham. Grace votes for bouillabaisse stew. Jake wants a weenie bake steak and a layer cake, and he'll get a tummy ache too. We'll rent a tent or a teepee, let the town crier cry. And if it's RSVP, this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell him I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, better save a chair. When the party's a-getting a glow on, and singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when the doing's all right, you can tell him I'll be there. When the party's a-getting a-glow on, and the singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when the doing's all right, you can tell him I'll be there. In the shank of the night, when the doing's all right, you can tell him I'll be there.
With the cool, cool, cool of the evening and two Oscars as doorstoppers, Mercer had confirmed his place as America's premier songwriter. In the world of operetta, Rodgers and Hammerstein ruled. But for sheer range and poetic depth, as a man who could write the song apparently with anyone and for any occasion, there was nobody in Mercer's class. The stuff poured out of him, and there was no telling where he would go in search of inspiration. He shuttles between Hollywood and Broadway, writing songs with anybody who can offer him something good enough to work on. Another decade of blinding brilliance and deeply poetic work. Work which was already a part of the American heritage.
Day in, day out, the same old voodoo follows me about. The same old pounding in my heart whenever I think of you. And darling, I think of you day in and day out. Day out, day in. I needn't tell you how my days begin. When I awaken with a tingle. One possibility in view, that possibility of maybe seeing you. Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar, a thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is, day in, day out?
And that's it. See you same time next week.
Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar, a thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is, day in, day out? Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean roar, a thousand drums. Can you see his love? Can there be any doubt when there it is?
You've You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.